I hear what you're saying, and I follow your arguments, but you're wrong. Here's Why by Ian Wolfe.
I'm speaking to Dr. Rachel Dunlop, and you've been battling the Australian Vaccination Network.
Yes, we actually for quite a number of months now, probably about 12 months. A lot of people, in fact, have been involved. I'm a member of the Australian Skeptics, and we've had quite a large campaign trying to just make the public aware of some of the misinformation spread by the Australian Vaccination Network. But there's also been a number of other groups involved, one particularly well-known one who's been very active called Stop the AVN, which was set up as a Facebook group and has now become very, very active in just sort of tackling their use of false information, basically.
Right. So what have they been trying to tell the public?
Some of the things that they say is they continue to claim that there's a link between vaccines and autism. Now, this has never been demonstrated. In fact, there have been many, many studies, in fact, showing the opposite. There was a large-scale study done in the year 2002 using around 600,000 children looking at unvaccinated versus vaccinated, and there was no difference in the amounts or the occurrence of autism in these children. Second of all, they sort of base this argument on the very well-known paper by Wakefield, which was originally published in the Lancet Medical Journal in the year 1998. Now, as a result of the longest investigation in the history of the General Medical Council of the UK, last week they passed down their findings about the conduct of Andrew Wakefield, and they deemed him to be dishonest, callous and unethical. And as a result of this, on the 2nd of February 2010, the Lancet completely retracted this paper from the medical records. So basically it's been scratched. And so there's no evidence anymore for the AVN to be saying that vaccines cause autism. The original paper has been found to be completely brought into disrepute. And then, of course, as I said, there's lots of other studies showing exactly the opposite of what they're saying. And, of course, they also say that vaccines contain mercury. Now, in the 2000 or 2001, all childhood vaccines in the United States had the thimerosal component, which is the mercury-containing component, taken out of the vaccines. So there's only a few vaccines, which are for adults, that have this mercury-containing component. So that's also a half-truth. Well, it's not. It's misinformation that's false, along with other things that vaccines cause SIDS, that they cause shaken baby syndrome, and a whole lot of stuff for which there's just absolutely no evidence in science at all.
So they're just basically scaring people away from getting vaccinated or vaccinating their children.
Exactly. And what they're doing is scaremongering. And, of course, the result of this is that parents do get terrified that there's going to be a reaction from the vaccine, and they don't get their children vaccinated. And it's very hard to unscare people when you start telling them your child is going to die from SIDS or get autism. And this has resulted in some outbreaks of preventable diseases in Australia, and it's probably partly because of this campaigning by the Australian Vaccination Network. For example, in 2008-2009, we had a whooping cough epidemic in the Northern Rivers and the bottom part of Queensland in Australia. And during this whooping cough epidemic, three babies passed away. Now, this is the result of people not vaccinating and listening to the information that these people are giving. And the problem is, it's just not right. It's false. It's incorrect.
It's appalling because vaccination saves lives. And the more unvaccinated children, more unvaccinated people there are generally, the easier it is for viruses and bacteria to mutate and evolve into new forms.
That's exactly right. That sort of involves a concept known as herd immunity, which basically means that if a large percentage of the population are vaccinated, around 90% is enough to maintain what's called herd immunity. It means when a virus or bacteria is able to get into the community, it's not going to spread very far because a lot of people have the vaccine and are likely to get ill enough to pass it on. Now, this means that it doesn't get an opportunity to mutate, as you say, and so this keeps the virus or the bacteria in check, if you like. So it's a very, very important thing to realise that you're not just protecting yourself by getting a vaccine, you're also protecting other people. And in particular, you're protecting people that either can't get vaccinated for medical reasons. They may have an allergy, for example, to egg protein. And some vaccines are made in eggs. And so if you have an allergy to that, you can't have it. People that are immunocompromised, for example, people who have cancers and might be receiving chemotherapy, their immune system is already damaged, and so they are not advised to get vaccinated. And then, of course, very young children who may not have had their full course of their vaccination yet. And this is a good example in the case of whooping cough, because you get three shots of whooping cough vaccine. It's called pertussis or DTaP vaccine. And if those children haven't fully got their immunity strong, they can also contract the bacteria and they can die.
And the safety of the vaccines has been tested in clinical trials.
Absolutely. Look, nobody's saying that vaccines are 100% safe or 100% effective. There are some very rare side effects that you will get from vaccines. And I mentioned before, if you have an allergy to an egg, to egg protein, you can't get vaccines made in eggs. But we know about these reactions. We know there are some adverse reactions. We have a system set up to report these reactions. So whilst these vaccines were tested thoroughly before they were even released to the public, we continue to test them by monitoring whether anyone has an adverse event or a side effect or a reaction. And this is kept in a database by the government, so we can keep in check as to how these vaccines are performing. And of course, as I said, there are reactions, but they're small and they're rare. And we know that the risks of contracting a disease and getting ill, the risk from a vaccine, getting an injury from a vaccine, it's so small that the benefits of getting it are so much greater. They far outweigh the risk of having an adverse event.
So you've told me what's happened with Professor Wakefield's paper in The Lancet, how it's been withdrawn and it's been thoroughly discredited and he's been cited on unethical behaviour. What's happened to the Australian Vaccination Network?
What's happened to the Australian Vaccination Network? Well, in fact, coincidentally, on the same day that the Wakefield paper was retracted from The Lancet Journal, they announced that they would be closing their doors at the end of February. And in a newsletter sent to their members, their president, Meryl Dorey, said that their financial situation was such that they could no longer afford to continue. So she was asking for donations from members, and she was saying that if she didn't receive a large injection of funds from a series of benefactors, then they'd be forced to close their doors. A couple of days later, she sent another e-newsletter saying that she wanted to clarify that they would only close if they got the money. And then a couple of days later, she sent another one with a big masthead saying AVN closing down sale, which detailed all of their products and their educational material and DVDs at 20% off until the end of the month. So it seems to me that they are going to close down unless they get this large amount of money that she's looking for. But I have to say, it's been a pretty tough year for the Australian Vaccination Network. Currently, there are two complaints pending with the Healthcare Complaints Commission, and these are focused on the fact that they do spread this misinformation, as I just outlined some of the details to you. This was prepared by a gentleman by the name of Ken McLeod, and he went through a lot of their material and very carefully found areas where they would make claims such as vaccines cause autism. They would dispute that very thoroughly and in a lot of detail. And so this has gone to the Healthcare Complaints Commission, and they are currently presiding over that complaint. There's also a complaint that's currently lodged with the Office of Liquor, Gaming and Racing, which is the charity watchdog. They look after charities, and the AVN is classified as a charity. And they announced today they're going to be doing an audit on the AVN's books the next couple of days. And this is stemming from the fact that for a period of 2 years, the Australian Vaccination Network operated apparently without a charity licence whilst still acting as a charity and still collecting donations. So that will be audited in the next couple of days. And the penalties for that are quite severe. So we wait and see what happens. But they haven't had a good year, and it seems that now they're running out of money. So I'm not quite sure what the future is going to be for the Australian Vaccination Network.
as a member of the Australian Skeptics, what do you think is the best way to calm people's fears, their irrational fears over the vaccines, so that they trust them and they don't listen to these scaremongers?
Yeah, I should just mention I am a PhD doctor, not a clinical doctor.
Right.
Just to clarify. Look, I think the best way is to just do what I've just told you. You know, when they come out and say that vaccines cause autism, we can say, well, no, here is the evidence that they don't. And in fact, earlier in 2009, the Australian Skeptics ran a national news print campaign in the Australian newsletter. And this was supported by Dick Smith, the famous entrepreneur, and, you know, everyone in Australia knows Dick. He's our man who flew around the world in a helicopter, and, you know, he used to own the Dick Smith electronics and all that stuff. He's a very well-known entrepreneur in Australia. And he sponsored a campaign that went into the Australian newspaper, just alerting parents to the fact that you can't trust the information you get from the Australian Vaccination Network. And so pleading with parents to seek advice from doctors and from reputable sources such as the Medicare website or the government websites that address vaccination from a factual and science-based, angle, rather than this scaremongering and spreading of false stuff by the Australian Vaccination Network. So I think that the best thing that we can do, and what we have been doing for the past 12 months, is to just get it out there. So that the thing that is also quite deceitful about the way that the AVN operates is that they put on a public face of their pro-choice, is what they say. We are pro-choice. We just want parents to educate themselves, to know both sides of the story, and then they can make a decision as to whether they vaccinate their children. And, of course, it is ultimately the choice of a parent. Absolutely, that's up to you if you want to vaccinate or not. But then behind closed doors, they're clearly anti-vaccination. Yes. And there have been interviews done with Meryl Dorey, who's the president, over the last few months, where interviewers have openly said to her, okay, you say you're pro-choice, tell me then, what is a good vaccine? And she can't ever answer that question. Now, how can that be that she's pro-choice if she's saying all vaccines are bad, all, you know, vaccines cause autism, vaccines contain mercury, mercury causes autism? They're not even telling the truth to the public. They're trying to portray them as pro-choice, but they're very, very anti-vax. And so that's what we think is the best way for us to sort of try to calm parents a little bit by saying, but they're not giving you the truth. Here are the facts. Here's the science. Please seek advice from your doctor.
Wonderful. So what do you think the anti-vaxxers get out of it? Are they genuinely afraid of the vaccines themselves, or is it some sort of grandstanding?
Look, in some cases, Ian, it stems from tragedies that have occurred to them, and I feel terrible for parents who have had children that they think have had a vaccine injury. And I think a lot, and in the case of Meryl Dorey, she has a child who she claims got injured by a vaccine. So the problem with that too is similar to what's happening with Jenny McCarthy, who's one of the figureheads of the anti-vaxxers in the United States. She claims that her son contracted autism from a vaccine, but the sort of the time that autism becomes sort of noticeable in children is also corresponds with the time that they start to receive a lot of their vaccination schedule. And so, of course, a parent, if they see a change in their child, you know, a week or hours after they've had a vaccine and then they receive a diagnosis of autism, of course they're going to naturally think it had something to do with the vaccine. But it's purely and simply just that that's around the time that autism, for example, can be recognised and start to appear in children. So a lot of these parents have had something like that happen, and when they're told by people like the Australian Vaccination Network what was definitely the vaccine, then of course they're going to believe that, and they're scared, and that's where it stems from. And I guess they just keep believing that, and it's a little bit like confirmation bias, you know, you just keep seeking more information that affirms your belief. And so if you look on Google, if you look for the information that says vaccines cause autism, you'll find plenty of it. It's not based in science. It's not statistically sound. It's not true, but you will find it. And so the more you read on the internet about this stuff, the more you think, yes, it definitely was that. And that's the problem. So that's what we're trying to sort of counteract.
Terrific. Well, Dr. Rachel Dunlop, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ian.
If you'd like to hear more stories, then subscribe on the website www.hereswhy.tk.